1. From the dark. 1. True life. Before the events of October 4th, 2001, crime came regularly into our home, but only on twin spools of glossy black tape encased in shells of hard plastic, and it was me who carried it inside. That last Christmas, I got a portable television with a built-in VCR player for my room. My mother had reluctantly agreed to this on the basis that it would never be connected to any TV channels, that I could only use it to watch videotapes. I'm sure another deciding factor was that if I was in my room watching that TV, I couldn't also be whining and moaning about whatever my mother was trying to watch on the one downstairs in the living room. In a house where technology meant a cumbersome, compact presario that took half an hour to come to life, a sluggish dial-up connection, and the fax machine my father had for work, the novelty of there suddenly being a TV screen in my bedroom was on a par with there being an alien spaceship in the back garden. Whenever I turned it on, its power spread out beyond the set itself, electrifying the entire room with its hum, bringing every molecule in the air alive with the excitement of endless possibility. Sitting on my bed, facing it, with the remote in one hand and something sugary within reach of the other, was my happiest place, until I ran out of things to watch. We had a typical home library of VHS tapes for the time, Disney movies, things recorded off the TV, a few random seasons of Friends that we'd gotten on sale. Having quickly exhausted these offerings, I negotiated a deal with my dad. I would be allowed to use my parents' account at our local video rental shop, provided I paid for the tapes and assumed responsibility for returning them on time. I soon figured out that in order to maximise my weekly budget, 3 of my 5 pocket money pounds, I needed to avoid the new releases and instead dig around at the back of the shop where a handwritten sign threatened True Life. Here the cover designs were predominantly a palette of bruising, all black and dark blues, and the ominous red titles on them dripped blood for effect. These were made-for-TV American movies based on infamous American crimes, for some reason available to rent on VHS in Ireland. They had low production values, cheesy dialogue, and at best a tenuous relationship with the truth. When I first encountered them in spring 2001, the vast majority were already at least a decade old, covering cases that had happened even farther back. But you could rent 2 for a week for the same price as a new movie for one night. So I started working my way through them. I quickly became obsessed. A Killing in Beverly Hills told the story of the Menendez brothers, who shot their parents dead so they could either escape their father's abuse, as they claimed, or start spending their inheritance, as the prosecution did. In The Line of Duty, Ambush in Waco reenacted the siege in Texas sparked by a bungled government raid that resulted in the deaths of 4 federal agents and 76 members of a cult called the Branch Davidians. In Small Sacrifices, Diane Downs, played by Farrah Fawcett's hair, stops her car on a dark country road so she can shoot her 3 young children, before driving slowly to the nearest hospital and claiming that a bushy-haired stranger did it instead. A flame-haired teenage Drew Barrymore played the title role in the Amy Fisher story, in which a 16-year-old girl, dubbed the Long Island Lolita, a moniker completely lost on me at the time, had an affair with 35-year-old Joey Buttafuoco and then attempted to murder his wife by shooting her in the head. If I had a favourite, though, it was Victim of Beauty, the Dawn Smith story. Dawn's 17-year-old sister, Sherry, was kidnapped in broad daylight from the end of her own driveway by Larry Jean Bell in May 1985, then murdered by him. The made-for-TV version